World record. One on Sunday, one on Saturday. Would you look around and see if there's any desk with a bunch of papers and stuff under them? Now, if it's your desk, you just do it after the end of class. But if it's somebody else's, but you're not taking their stuff, I don't know, just police it up a little bit, make it look a little more tidy. It looks pretty good up front here to me. I don't see too much, but I'm not sitting back there looking at everything. All right, let's go. All right, we are on the page 3 here, last page of your notes. I'll wrap this up today. Testing is a basis for SG3. 1 Peter 1, 6, and 7. Testing comes in, obviously, a variety of ways. I would always put first persecution for your positive volition. And persecution is a common thing that believers will experience, and it comes in a variety of forms to the extreme. Anyone who challenges your faith, comes up against you for this attendance and being in Bible class, anything along those lines, maligning your church because you don't do Christmas, things like that. You know, there's so many. The 1 Peter 1, 6, and 7, because I know that some of you have been persecuted, maybe are being persecuted. After a while, they tend to leave you alone because it's a dead end and getting them anywhere. This letter, written by the Apostle Peter, who he identifies himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ, these believers resided in these Roman provinces. And this is known from ancient history textbooks that these are real provinces that existed. Kind of like states in the United States with different names. And believers who there, he says, who reside as aliens. And these are native-born people. These aren't people that came from the outside, aliens like crossing our southern border illegally. Because we are ruled by lawlessness. At a level, we've always had lawlessness going on, but not at this level. This is just one example, the lawlessness. You don't have a dynamic and viable nation and civilization if you allow people to invade your country, even if they're just coming in here and called squatters and affecting the lives of natural or legal citizens. A legal citizen is someone who applies for citizenship and meets the requirements. And we had requirements. You had to read the Constitution. You had to know what America was about. I don't care what country you came from. You come from some European country. You're expected, and known criminals, we won't let in the country. We won't do that. See, this would be a viable civilization. A viable civilization does not let their borders overrun with illegals. I don't care what their plight is in those other countries. It isn't about humanitarianism. You want humanitarianism, be that with regard to the people in the country who have jobs and places to live in, and they don't have to have this influx. During the Eisenhower administration, we turned about 5 million of them back. And they got the blank out of here. So it isn't about a race. It isn't about where you're from. It's having a protected civilization, a dynamic civilization. So when it says who reside as aliens, does not mean these people came from somewhere else. It's a spiritual designation. As positive believers in a world that we live in, work in, we are aliens. We don't fit in. Because if you fit in, you're of the cosmos. Now, to make that clear is you get out there and work, you do this and do that. That's called citizenship and survival and all the rest of it. But as far as the cosmic approach and view of things, which is typically anti-God or some corruption of deity and all the rest of it, we don't fit in. You could say, that crowd over there, I don't fit in. I can't be myself. I can't sit there and talk freely about Bible doctrine and what I've just learned in Bible class. One, it doesn't register with them. They don't get it. I'll bet you most of these believers out here, they don't realize, the believers, that you can earn SG3, whatever they want to call it, for suffering. You hear people sit around talk about their sufferings and going through this and that. There's not a word about God and building up any SG3 account. It's not in their frame of reference. If you were to talk it to them, it would be just, pie in the sky, blah, 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 blah. But that works for you. Well, I don't want to hang out with that kind of people. I want to hang out with people who have agape love on the same page doctrinally. And I will put my doctrine up against any of that's out there that's contradictory. I will. And I will defend it. And I'm not much on being around people who, well, they agree with this and this and this, but not this. And then, no, that's a mixed bag. That's for me personally. Don't invite me into an environment where I have to sit around that. I'll judge where I'm going to go and spend some time. But I'd rather spend it with two people that are positive than 20 that are this and that. Well, they say, well, we're positive. Well, then you wouldn't be going over there. Because you would have listened to the doctrine and know this is not viable. You'd have got it. There's just some things that are sacrosanct. And getting into the situation that doesn't make it okay with the passage of time. The passage of time won't clear it up, whether it was yesterday or 5 years ago. You don't do that. You do not mess with another pastor's sheep. Got it? You don't. I'm even careful with those that are out there that are going to Fundy'sville. That's what I just say, this is what we teach. Now, if they show up, they show up. I don't say you need to come over here, which may be the truth, but I don't do that. You figure it out. You figure out where you need to be. That's on you, good or bad. So no, I don't fit in with that. I can see a group of people that have a common interest. It might be a hobby, it might be, a music club, it might be anything. And I like that type of hobby or interest, but I can't have fellowship with them. I went on a couple hunting trips where there's a mixed people there. It was a fiasco. God was showing me. It was a fiasco. Not that in my heart I desired to establish a relationship with an outsider. But as they invited these other people that were there, and the whole thing was a fiasco. They should have stayed home. So I tell people, don't invite me to these events. People say, we invited people to Maranatha. We went over to their place and they had all these strange people around. And I felt offended because this was okay with them. I don't have a problem with it. If you want to get together with someone and talk doctrine and explain what your church is all about, that'd be a different story. I'd like to talk to you about it. Sure, that's witnessing. That's bona fide. But not let your hair down, social, blah, 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 blah. Now, this doesn't preclude you can't help your mother in her old age, come to her aid. But if your parent is got you on a string and, oh, we want you to come over. We had a couple in my church. They didn't go at the time of the evening on a Wednesday night to the anniversary for one of them's parents that is right here in the neighborhood. But they said they would be there right after class. Well, it ticked them off. It ticked them off to no end. Because how dare them put being in Bible class for an hour above sitting over there and eating some cake and drinking some punch. How dare them? See, that's where you put God first. You put God first and let the other things take care of themselves. And if there are exceptions that I'm not aware of, fine. But the general rule of thumb is, and this whole letter is about, it's dealing with them, you're living in this world, and there's a sense in which you are outsiders. Resident aliens. And yet these people who resided and were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen. You're the chosen aliens. You're in the plan. And you don't fit in. And that's why you came under this suffering and persecution. Because people don't like anybody to break with the status quo. There's a lot of people, they can't live and let live. They've got to attack. So you may be, and it may not be something you can just avoid, but if you're around anybody who is bad-mouthing Bible doctrine, and sometimes they don't even go to church, but they got all these high and mighty things to say and negativity and hostile and attacks, is that where you'd want to wind up and you think God is going to reward that? No. I don't care if they are believers. Even just being a believer, we agree on one thing. There's only one way of salvation, and it's through one person and one act on the part of the individual that gets you eternal life and gets you off of that condemnation hook. And all you got to do is believe. You don't have to do another thing, but it has to be in Jesus Christ. There's not two ways of salvation. And so if you're around anyone who is hostile, because it's for some people, the fact that you come here at all stirs them up. Who do they care? What do they care? Can't they get a life? It's a rebuke to them. Positive volition and living the Christian life is a rebuke to negative volition out there. I'm not in any way advocating any kind of arrogant attitude. We get along with people. Be helpful. And be a witness. But they're going to open their mouths, and human viewpoint about something's going to come out. You don't have to say anything. What do you think? What do I think? What do I know about that topic? They inevitably, whether they're on their coffee break or whatever, they inevitably are espousing. I mean, they may be just talking about the weather. They may be talking about, I don't know. But inevitably, human viewpoint's going to come out of their mouths. They don't have divine viewpoint. They don't have an anchor. So what can you do? You go to school with them. You go to work with them. You're in sports with them. You know? No, if you're working in a business and a customer comes in, you deal with them. I'm looking for blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'll help you. Blah, 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 blah. Get it? And I have a nice day, sir. Here's the deal. And away we go. And so they can go out there and say, you know, that was real professional, and they treated me well. It doesn't draw them to doctrine, but it doesn't repel them either. I mean, but unbelievers can do that and pull that off. But it's still good for believers too. You know. These believers were scattered. They were believers here and there through these Roman provinces that had been evangelized, come to salvation, got hooked up with a local church, and started and was starting off, and they got hit. They got hit with, there's levels of persecution. It wasn't state sponsored. Like the government's behind it, we're going to round up Christians and throw them in jail and threaten them with this and that. It was more one-on-one within the society, family against a person, this and that. You broke from all that, blah, 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 blah. You know? This one believer I was referring to, he got denied his inheritance from his parents. And they were Christians. That's what I heard. He got denied his inheritance. He went to his brother. Because he went to Maranatha Church. You could go to First Fundyville and be in it up to your ears and they wouldn't have cared. But they went here. Because we came out from amongst them and separated ourselves in the name of Bible doctrine. And partial orthodoxy, it wasn't good enough for us, so we just stayed where we were. You know, we just stayed where we were, believing the Trinity, believing salvation through Christ, believe the Bible's the Word of God, blah, 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 blah. But that wasn't good enough. You won't find an explanation about like I gave you about Moses and his history. And this is just off the top of my head. You won't find an explanation like that in these churches. They don't spend time with those details. They're trying to figure out how to get more people in. And we've got a ministry for people who are ex-drug addicts. I have a ministry for ex-drug addicts. It's right here. I got a ministry for divorced people. It's right here. I got a ministry for teens. It's right here. Next to those of us that are on the other end of the age spectrum. I got a ministry for everybody. All into one room. And the only exceptions we make is the kiddos back there when we have enough and we don't have them every night by any means to justify having a number of teachers from the congregation like we did back in the day when we had up to maybe more, 40 kids. Not babies. I'm talking teachable, old enough to be in a class. We got it done. We got it done over there in the annex, we called it. My old house. My previous house. We got it done. We took care of people. We provided spiritually for them. It's up to them what they want to do with it. And a lot of them inevitably and eventually walked away. Because they got reestablished with that which they came here from, and they said they didn't like it. Okay. But now it's okay. That doesn't include everybody. So I enjoy talking, but I to someone else about the plan of God, but God has to open the door. I don't just collar people. It's not appropriate. You know, dummies on the street corner waving signs and stuff. Jesus saves. Yeah, and you want money, don't you? Bad witness. Bad, bad, bad. Unbelievers should go. You're out here begging from the cosmos. We don't do that. We never did, never will. We've always had what we needed. Anyway, I'm all for witnessing. had a young guy in a restaurant, in his 20s, asked me what I did for a living, blah, blah, blah. Are you retired? I said, no. Well, what do you do? And I told him. And he said, well, I'm a Christian. I go to this church. I go to two churches. Okay, all right. I didn't say anything. It wouldn't do any good. But I did drop some bombshells on him. One of them was, I know who the Antichrist is. I want to look really goofy in their eyes. Oh, another nutcase. And I can document it. It's in Revelation 17. It's right there. He comes up out of the abyss and he's one of the seven. This is a process of elimination. Then I go to the book of Daniel, I piece it together, and I think this is airtight. Alex is coming back. And he will be so thoroughly equipped in his brain computer with the ways of the world and technical stuff and languages and history, because he was off the earth all this time, right? And a lot of history went on. He'll be an encyclopedia. He will have knowledge like you could get on your phone. Hey, whoever you talk to, Lexi, can you tell me when Abraham Lincoln was born? Okay? He will have that kind of mentality. And he will have to know military stuff, modern military stuff, like the back of his hand. He will have to have the kind of statistics that only you could have in a CIA or something at his fingertips. The smartest, most intelligent people in their field, he'll be able to outdo them if he needs to use that info. God will only download into him. He won't download into him more evil doctrine. He'll be capable of coming up with that on his own. And if I was a betting man and had a bunch of money to lose, I'd bet that he's going to be about the flat earth. He was in his lifetime. You say, well, that was wrong. No, not necessarily. That's what he was. That's why he wanted to go to the edge of the world, which they always made fun of in the history books. They'd show a little boat going over the edge. You left out the ice wall. But anyway, I think he will be. And he will not, like I used to think, he will not deny the existence of Jesus Christ. Oh, on the contrary, he will affirm he exists and he's coming back. That is the natural reading of the book of Revelation. He makes war with the Lamb. He will be called by his followers as a nickname, he will be called the Beast. Now, I don't know what his storyline is going to be about how he got back here. I'm sure he isn't going to give God credit for it. He'll have some. We found a passage. Well, I don't know what the hell you're looking with. But he will be able to prove he's Alexander, not just some nutcase that claims to be George Washington. He's going to be able to prove it with DNA proof. The kind they use in criminal investigations. Because they found his father's bones. Philip of Macedon. They know it's Philip. You can go check it out. Kind of interesting. That was not many years ago. They discovered Philip's remains. And if they find Alexander's remains, which is search has been going on all this time, then they'll have a coffin, a sarcophagus, whatever, because he was buried Egyptian style, mummified. God doesn't want them to find it yet. When God's ready, they'll find it. And when the remains are gone and they match up, and people and all this is broke loose, the rapture, this. The world's going to get a punch in the solar plexus. This rapture occurs. Explain that one away. And he appears, and the two witnesses appear, and his angel starts making announcements. 1, 2, 3. Another thing that always that grew on me over the years is You couldn't have, I told this kid, I said, the rapture could never occur before Israel became a duly established nation. All this stuff in the Bible about Israel, a nation, scattered Jews all over the earth, that isn't going to cut it. They had to be reestablished as a bona fide nation, which they were in 48. But then in addition to that, there's another thing, technology. There had to be a technological development that would enable man to hack man. You know what a hacker is? My computer hacked. The hacking security systems and stuff. So that humanity can be hacked and neutralize their volition. That's the only explanation for why somebody could take the mark of the beast and not be saved. Not as a punishment because you did the biggest, baddest sin. There's Satanists that got saved. People have fallen down and worshiped Satan. Who have come to salvation. The only unpardonable sin is unbelief. So this one neutralizes the volition. And I don't know all the details. I don't know how it is that some believer couldn't say, okay, give me the mark because I want to buy and sell. I don't know that. Maybe. See, doctrine is developed. You get more insights as you get down the road. But I'm pretty convinced that he's going to be. And I hope he exposes it in front of these people with all the brilliance and genius that he will have. Something true. Everything that comes out of his mouth isn't going to be false. His declaration that he is deity, that he is the real Messiah, and Lucifer, out in the open, out of the closet, Luciferianism. In a lot of ways in our country and world, Luciferianism is out of the closet. Just like a lot of these other perverted things are, out of the closet. Thrown in our faces. And say, this is wonderful. Oh, okay. All right, we will resume Tuesday. As I said, this week we'll have Bible class at the regular times, and next week no Bible class. That includes Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the week of the 4th. I've already said that, but I said it again. Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful that you continue to be with us and provide for us so that we can continue to be on track for the high reward that you have promised to those that stay faithful to the end. Be with us, watch over us, take care of us in this world of evil. Deliver us from it. In Christ's name, amen.